Hello, this is Kevin Doherty, your host for Just Thinking, and I am the Chief Strategy Officer for 806 Technologies, and today I have a great guest. His name is Matt Gagnon, and Matt's going to tell you a little bit about himself. I'm not even going to begin to tell him about you. I'm going to let him do that. So Matt, take it from here.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. Look, I am a I've been an executive coach. You could call me a peak performance coach, mindset coach, whatever you want to call me. I help people. I primarily work with a lot of entrepreneurs, high performers, executive, folks. And I've been doing that now since 2015, full time. And I've also I've been a motivational speaker. I've done a TED Talk. I've recently did a speech out in Alberta. And so I love all of this stuff. I've also been a virtual professor for Austin Community College, working with an IT boot camp, teaching LinkedIn courses. I've done a plethora of different things, that's for sure. But primarily, though, coaching has been it for me.
Nice.
And it's something I've fought for and I love doing. And so, yeah, that's my primary work. And then secondary, I have this unusual second career now as a musician. So that's been a wild journey, too. So that's me.
Well, Matt, you've given me a lot to talk with you about. So first thing is you mentioned a TED Talk. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would love to do a TED Talk. So talk to us a little bit about the journey to that TED Talk and what it was about.
Yeah, I think the first thing is about there are a lot of people that want to do a TED Talk. But the biggest thing is the motivation behind it. You know, why do you want to do a TED Talk? Mm-hmm. And is it because you want a financial gain? You know, do you want to try and sell yourself and get out there more? Because that's not what it's about. This is about a platform to serve people on a much bigger level. Mm-hmm. And that was always my goal. Like, I wanted to have a chance to be able to serve people at a much bigger level. Like, I know the secondary result is like, it's kind of like, oh, I'm a big deal. But it was a really, really cool opportunity to get a bigger message out there. And my message focused on living with a courageous heart. It's the slogan for my company. And what it focused on was, what is it like to live life aligned with your values and not the values of society, or these unwritten rules that tell us what we should do, how we should act, how we should show up, and the things that should make us happy. You know, a car, our salary, the house we live in, the job we have, all of these things. It's all garbage.
Right.
This is about you finding what's right for you and not feeling like you're wearing a mask and being someone different in order to achieve that. So that was the premise behind my talk.
Very cool. Well, can't take any of it with you, can you?
No, not at all.
You're reminding me of you're in my initial conversation about the heart, and I shared with you my heart situation. Yeah. Right. And going without a heartbeat for 48 minutes and then 47 days in the hospital and all of that from a simple mistake, a slip of the knife, if you will.
And
it changes everything. And so it's one of the things that caused me to want to have a further conversation with you. So really glad we're having this. So wonderful feedback on that. Hey, real quick, I'm looking at your background, and that's not an AI background, is it?
No, this is my place.
Very cool.
So
you're in Maine now?
Yep, I'm back in Maine where I was born and raised, back in my hometown of Farmington. It's
nice.
It's a small college town, but like small, 6,000 people, at our peak. So yeah, it's a very small community here. I mean, I was in Austin, Texas 15 years and Austin's, you know, a million plus people now, and that's the entire population of Maine. So it's different being back for sure.
It's a million plus people, but they haven't done much to change the infrastructure.
No, not at all. Infuriating.
Population.
That was why I was glad I live. You know, I worked at home. I didn't have to mess with I-35 or 180, 290, all of those places. No, thank you. I'm good.
It's crazy. So let's talk a little bit about coaching and teaching, because as I shared with you before we started, most of the people that will be watching and or listening to the Just Thinking podcast are educators. So speak to the educators about your role as a coach and maybe share some things that you think might be beneficial for them to hear as well.
Yeah. You know, the coaching industry is still relatively young. I mean, it's been an established business since the 90s, say more the late 90s. And it's obviously exploded now because everyone and their mother's a coach. And it's an unregulated industry, which is why anyone can be one. Right. And they do have certification processes. They do have a credentialed process. And I chose to go that route because I want to honor our industry and keep it unregulated. So that way, you know, we have some morals and ethics and guidelines to go by. And so, yeah, I invested good money into doing, you know, an ICF, International Coach Federation, you know, accredited program. Okay. Got my certification through the Coaches Training Institute. But as a coach, my primary job is to, as a co-active coach, the area I was trained in, is to hold my clients in a creative and resourceful and whole place, knowing that they are these things.
Okay.
I focus very much on the present and working our way forward. We also, you know, dip our toes into the past too, to understand some trends and limiting beliefs, the birth of those things. But that's the difference between me and, say, therapy. Therapy is really going to focus on the origin of things, the deepest seated stuff. I would refer people to a therapist if we worked together for a few months and there was a limiting belief that we identified, but no matter what coaching we did, there was no overcoming it. It was just so rooted in there that ethically, I am not qualified to take them to that place.
Right.
And so, yes, I'm all about taking them forward. And the idea between holding someone creative, resourceful, and whole means I'm not giving advice. You know, I'm not telling them how to live their life. I'm not telling them what to do. If I do that, you know, I'm giving fish. I'm not teaching people to fish, basically.
Right. Right.
You know, and so there is a teaching element in that also.
Yes.
But there's also this space of that they might be able to teach me something and they can teach themselves something by being held in that space.
Right.
So I will ask probing questions with no agenda attached to it. I'm not trying to guide anyone to an answer, which can be the difference between teaching, is just asking them, okay, where was there, you know, when was the last time in your life you experienced that?
Right.
You know, what is it about that you enjoy? You know, what feelings does that bring up for you? You know, how does that impact you today? These types of questions. Nothing with a why, though. Why questions tend to put people on the defense.
Right.
They just, no matter how you ask it, it just, it sounds like you have to defend something.
Sure.
And so it alters the thought process by asking it in a different way. It makes people think off script. But if I was to try and guide someone to an answer, one, that's manipulative, and two, I'm taking the chance away for them to say something completely mind-blowing that I never expected.
Right.
I'll get clients that'll say, is that the answer you were looking for, you know, with the question? Or is like that, how do you mean the question? How do you mean that question? And I'll, what I'll say is like, however you interpret it.
Right.
Like, you tell me. And sometimes I'm like, wow, I never expected anyone to interpret that question that way. That's fascinating.
Right.
And sometimes too, they just blow both of our minds with something wild that they're saying out loud for the first time. Giving advice is me making an assumption that you are not creative enough to come up with your own. And that's a big deal. And some people struggle with that because no one has ever held them in that space.
Sure.
They've always been rescued, just given advice, told what to do. And so, no. And I will get people sometimes, they'll just fire back, say, I don't know. And I'm like, well, you didn't even stop and think.
Right.
So take a pause.
Yeah.
You know, other people are afraid to say what's on their mind because they don't want to sound stupid.
Right.
You know, there's these limiting beliefs. The biggest one, though, like how I overcome that usually is, you know, someone says, I don't know. I can't think of an answer on that. And I'll go, all right, well, if you had to guess, just guess. What do you think it would be? Instantly, they know.
Right.
Immediately. I'm like, well, there it is. You know, and it's mind-blowing usually. Their first thing they say is amazing. So, I'll give you one example of a forward-thinking question. And it's the most basic example I can give. Say you have somebody who's coming to you and they're like, I have a goal of getting to the gym 5 days a week. You know, I really want to make fitness my priority. I want to go 5 days a week. I'm not even going once a week, you know, and it's so discouraging. Your best friends will probably ask the question, well, what's stopping you, man? Like, what's getting in your way? it's a well-intentioned question. It makes total sense, but all you're going to do is blurt out all the crap, you know, you're going to vent, you know, I don't go in that direction. What I would start with is like, okay, well, what would you have to change in your life to just go once a week?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about solutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would it look like? What would you need to do? You know, what would it be like to block off time?
Right.
You know, and like, how much are you willing to protect this time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so those types of things, how can we make you going to this easier? You know, what would be a deterrent from you not going? You know, all of these different questions are all solution based and not designed to just go into this place of just completely complaining about what you already know. So that's the area that makes people think differently, and it pauses them and takes them off script.
Yeah, you're making me think that so many relationships were kind of wired to do the other spouses.
Yeah, we want to fix.
We're out of fix. Yeah. Come in and fix it, right? Also, you made me think of James Clear's Atomic Habits, right?
Yep.
So part of that too is seeing yourself as someone who is very fit. So what does that look like to be very fit? Well, I go to the gym, I do these workouts and so forth. So I just see myself that way because I am fit. I am a musician. I am a teacher, whatever it is. Start to visualize yourself that way and then take that one step toward the full actualization of that. I think that's awesome.
It's even understanding what's important to you about going 5 days a week. Where did that number come from?
Right.
And so those little things are really big too. And again, you know, just anything to get you there, no matter what amount of time it is, or even, you know, if you can't go to the gym, what can you do at home? You know, you have a body. If you have a body, you have a gym. Do push-ups, do burpees, you know, but usually people are like, I don't want to. So it's all about that stuff too. So yeah, there's all these ways around it. It's getting people to see different perspectives.
Yes.
My job is not to get you to choose the perspective that resonates of resonance. My goal is to give you just perspective and power of choice. If you choose to stay where you are, that's where you choose to be. That's fine, but you can't complain and be a victim. Because you chose it and you had choices.
Right. Yeah, so a lot of accountability behind that as well.
Oh, yeah.
So so you're teaching people. And, you know, I share with you, I have been an educator or serving educators my whole life. So one of the biggest factors of being an effective educator or teacher is the building of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So which builds that trust that's so critical to learning from somebody else. So how does that factor into the work that you do, or does it factor in?
Building trust?
Building relationship and trust.
Yeah. Oh, that's everything. Yeah. It's the foundation of it all.
Okay.
And so one of the ways that I do it is I like to establish that before we even get on the call.
Mm-hmm.
How I do that is through my writing on LinkedIn, or Facebook or Instagram. I write about the things that I'm passionate about. I write about the topics that I coach on a lot of the times, but I use myself. There's a level of vulnerability where I talk about my own journey or maybe a client's journey, but a lot of times I'm speaking from myself because I can only take a client as deep as I'm willing to take myself.
Yes.
You know, with my coach, with my therapist, you know, I do the work also. I've talked about my own sobriety and what that journey was like, you know, 18 months in. I have no problem sharing that stuff because no one wants to work with a perfect person.
Right.
And a lot of coaches choose not to go to that place in fear of, well, no one will work with me.
Right.
You know, why would anyone want to work with me? I'm a train wreck. I'm like, well, yeah, so am I. But I need a village. You know, I've learned to reach out for help. I'm no more special than anyone else.
Right.
So that vulnerability, one, puts people at ease, and two, it's a lighthouse kind of thing. You're shining out there and putting the message out there, and you're giving permission for others to do the same.
Right.
And you're calling people forward. Hey, you're not alone. If this is you too, you're not alone. I'm over here. Yes. Come on over. So when people message me, there's already a level of trust because they feel like they know me.
Yes.
I don't know them. That's the weird part.
Right.
But like, they know me at a certain level. And the big thing there is now showing that I'm congruent with my online presence, with my, you know, on the phone or in person presence, that we're the same people, you know, that's a huge thing. We built trust. And then once we go into kind of a discovery call or even our first session, we're building our alliance together, you know, which is custom for everybody. You know, me sharing like, these are the things you can expect from me. These are the things that do I have permission to do with you, such as intruding, you know, blurting in like, hey, I might hear you say something really important or something that makes me really curious. You know, I, in those situations, I'm going to intrude. Are you okay with that? This is what it would sound like, you know, all these different things. Here are my expectations for you. And then I'll ask them, well, what do you expect from me? And so we have this partnership. You know, I even discuss up front what conflict could look like for us. Hey, look, I'm human. There might be a point in 6 months I piss you off, you know, and I get it, you know. And so here's my request. Will you talk to me about it? I want you to give me a chance to succeed or fail you in how I deal with that conflict. You know, give me an opportunity to show healthy communication around conflict, because conflict is what truly defines our relationship, you know, in any relationship in life. So yes, trust and holding confidentiality sacred is just the foundation of it all. But that's a big way I do it, is how I choose to be vulnerable and putting my own stuff out there and creating that right off the bat. So again, there are a lot of coaches out there that'll tell you, here's what I believe in this world. Here's the problem I want to solve. And here's who I work with, you know. The part that's missing that I like to include is, here's when I was a part of the problem myself. You know, the problem I want to solve, guess what? I was part of it at one point. And then here was my light bulb moment that changed my whole perspective. And that's why I choose to work with these people today. And so that's the part where there's some vulnerability, but builds a lot of street cred.
Man, I love the focus on vulnerability, because I used to be a school principal. And a lot of times, when you're moving into a leadership role like that, you feel like you just have to have it all together all the time. But intuitively, I knew that if I express my vulnerability with my staff, it's going to engender a greater degree of trust in me. Now, again, I'm opening myself up for some criticism. I'm opening up myself for scrutiny from these people that I'm leading. But I felt like it was a risk worth taking, because the benefit would outweigh whatever detriment there was to expressing vulnerability. And it kind of brings me to what you were just talking about with LinkedIn, because, you know, it's been around for what, 15, 20 years. I don't know how long LinkedIn's been around.
Definitely over 20.
I remember when I was first introduced to it, I was leery of LinkedIn. I didn't know what it was all about. I loosely got involved in it. And then in recent years, I've embraced it fully. And like you, I've put myself out there. So people think they know me. And like you said, hopefully if they meet me, they feel like they do in fact know me based on what they've seen me say or heard me say or see me write. But I want you to share a little bit about your LinkedIn journey and how you're using that, because I do believe there are others out there that could benefit personally, professionally, from what a platform like LinkedIn could do.
You know, to this day, I still believe LinkedIn is the platform to get the most organic exposure, you know, without paying for it. And a lot of other platforms, you need to pay to play. LinkedIn, you don't. Premium kind of claims it, that they'll give you more, but not really. They have other tools that can make premium great. And I always tell people when they're like, well, should I invest in premium? And I'm like, what do you, what's it going to do for you? I don't know. Then no, you shouldn't. Until you've mastered the regular platform, then no, absolutely not. It's free. And it's why I still don't have a website. It's why I've never really paid for marketing. It's free. And most of my business has come from that. And now word of mouth. So it's amazing to me. And so, yeah, I started building my practice off of it in 2015, but I'd been using LinkedIn prior in my corporate retail days for recruiting, but also writing things about servant leadership, vulnerability. I was definitely a weirdo for writing about vulnerability back in 2010, because that was not a common thing to do. That was very rare. It was very professional back then.
Yes.
And that's not so stuffy anymore. No. That audience has kind of gone away.
Yes.
So, but when I got to 2015 in that spring, I got really sick and I went on disability. I was diagnosed with all these really rare and strange illnesses that took away all of my energy and didn't allow me to do the career that I've always been used to. I lost a great six-figure career. I had to walk away from it. And I had all these medical bills. I had an infant son. I was the only income in the house. I built a brand new home in a nice part of Austin in Lakeway. And, you know, I was screwed. And I was 3 months behind on my mortgage now at this point. And so I started this business with just a LinkedIn page.
Wow.
And that's it. And it was free.
Wow.
And it took me 2 years to surpass my old income that I had with this practice of mine. I mean, that's a miracle.
Like, yeah.
It's not a typical story, but it's doable. It's very possible. And it was just about consistent use. It was about understanding how far you could push things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm putting things on there, and I pushed every button. I was a rule breaker on what you could and couldn't post. I just believed you could post anything. I posted things around faith, vulnerability, recovery, like all kinds of different things.
Yes.
And I found my audience. What I learned was people were starving for something that was real.
Yes. Oh, my word. Yes.
Professional garbage,
yes.
You know, that you can do this and it doesn't always have to be work related. You know, that you can be an individual there and not be your job. Your identity doesn't need to be your career, you know? And honestly, when you're asking me to say a little bit about myself, I mean, if I was honest about who I also really am, is I'm a father, I'm a husband, like I'm a musician, I'm a, you know, vinyl enthusiast, I'm a pop culture nerd. And, you know, I love my superheroes. Those are more about me. I love nature. Like that's more who I am. And that's more of what I'm interested in learning about with people. And so this platform's given people a chance to show their real identity and the value behind that. This is the biggest thing I want people to know, because people are like, why should I do that? Why should I put that stuff out there? How's that going to get me hired? How's that going to get me clients? And again, it's about building trust. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a job, your values and what you choose to put out there is what's going to be a tiebreaker between you and someone else who has the identical results as you, your career path. Yeah. Doesn't make you better or worse than someone else, but great companies hire for culture.
Right.
If your value system aligns with their culture, they love that. That means you're probably going to be a great employee, is a much higher chance, and there's a much, there's definitely a less of a retention risk.
Right.
You know? So they can immediately tell, like, you have a highest chance of blending well with our team. And that's why you need to do it. And so, and you don't have to, why should I try and connect with people who aren't in my industry? Well, guess what? They might know somebody in your industry, you know, and that's what it's about too. Who do you know? Plus, build an audience of raving fans.
Right.
Who cares? Find people who align with your value system and you're going to have something gorgeous. So. Yeah.
You touched on something there in terms of, you know, what LinkedIn has become versus how it started out, a little more stuffy, whatever. And my personal story with that was after that health event that I went through, a year later, I had COVID. I'm holed up in the room and doing the quarantining. And I put a post on, and it's a picture of me in ICU the night that I went down for the count. I'm all wired up and that kind of thing. And so I just wrote a very short summary, because you're limited in space.
Yep.
I shared an accompanying scripture with it, right?
Yeah.
And I wondered, okay, is this kind of unprofessional? Am I kind of going outside the lines here, whatever? And then I just thought, no, you know, I felt compelled to do this. And I said a prayer around it. I woke up the next morning and there were 25,000 views of that post. A day later, there were 75,000, several thousand comments and likes. I'm writing to all those people. And I thought about what you said, and that is people are hungry for not only that authenticity, but I think people are also hungry for hope. And when they can see somebody working through something, like you mentioned, your sobriety and so forth, and look at you, you know, to see, I'm willing to share this very vulnerable experience and moment. And I'm here on the other side, but you know, kind of like my health or sobriety or whatever, it's a daily battle. This isn't like, you know, one and done. So, so I love the conversations and the relationships that are being built out of that type of sharing.
And again, you're giving permission for others to talk to. Oh, I can talk about faith here. Oh, I can talk about vulnerability. You know, I can talk about these things. You know, we had the Me Too movement that, you know, was a big wave through LinkedIn. I decided to write my own article about that. And I had to battle my own insecurities because I was like, well, as a man writing this, am I allowed to be a part of this movement? Because this is very, you know, women driven. Mm-hmm. And will they feel like, oh, here's another guy trying to take from our moment? And so I had to work through that stuff too. And I was like, yeah, the hell with that. I'm supposed to. Man, did I get a lot of men who wrote to me about like, I went through, you know, something too. And, you know, I've never told anybody. And like, that was so powerful to me. So yeah. And, and the same thing. I put a post when I had COVID, I almost died of COVID. And same idea. I posted a picture. I had tubes in my nose and I had a Santa Claus hat on because it's during Christmas. And, you know, I went through hell and, you know, I talked about that journey and how much I learned from it for sure. So yeah, it's been a total thing to show people like there's a constant hero's journey going on. You know, you might complete one circle, one journey, and then a new one starts, a new ring. And so we're always training for the next piece of adversity. Mm-hmm. And then it's also how I take it and not make it a, and what some people worry about is like, oh, it's a poor me story. It's, you know, here's me just being vulnerable and sharing shit. Look at me, look at me. The way that I take that and use it as vulnerability is to share my learning from it. This is what happened to me. This is what I, you know, this is what I went through. Here are my limiting beliefs. This is what I learned. And then the part that's important is I turn that back around and ask people like, well, where in your life has this, where this mindset would serve you? When was the last piece of adversity that you went through? You know, or like, what are, you know, where are the giants in your life you should be running towards? All kinds of questions that make people look in the mirror, you know, you know, or just something there that kind of turns it around and makes people look at their own story. We can't compare our stories to someone else because that minimizes our own journey. And that's a horrible thing to do. It would be like you sharing what you just told us, you know, a little bit. And then at the end of it going, yeah, but there are people who have it much worse. And, you know, well, it's like, oh, my God, you just minimize your story so fast.
Right.
No, that's the worst thing you knew. That's the worst experience you go through. How can you understand anybody else's?
Right.
So we can have compassion and empathy for someone else's stories, but we should never compare, you know, because it devalues it. And so own your story and give permission for others to own it, too. And their story might be different than yours. But what's important is that the theme might be very similar. The feelings. Okay, I've felt shame. I've felt angry. You know, I've felt, you know, rage. I felt sad. Those are the things people connect with. Oh, man, he's sharing my story. Like, he's writing my story. Because the feelings are what are universal and connect us. We feel the same feelings. So that's important.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground here where coming to 30 minutes, and I don't know what your rule of thumb is, and I don't know that has to be exactly a certain number, but I like to keep it around 30 minutes for podcast purposes. I could already tell we probably need to do a follow-up at some point, but I, out of respect for listeners, viewers, I want to, you know, respect their time and keep it right around 30 minutes. But before we sign off, Matt, is there anything else about what you're just thinking that I didn't give you a chance to speak about in this episode?
You know, no, I think we've covered enough. The cup is full for people. And all I would do is this. I would tell people right now, if any of what I said challenges you, makes you think, maybe even pisses you off a little bit. That's not true. I don't know. You need to think about that and ask yourself, what is it I can't be with around that? And again, if you're having a limiting belief around like, I don't know if I could do that, you need to look at that. because you've already, your limiting beliefs never show up just for fun. They only show up when you're about to do something courageous, something that transformational, something that could really, you know, take you in a new direction. So you got to listen to that. Your limiting belief is always this unintentional beacon of light shining towards what you're supposed to do, you know, but it's trying to get you to look right here, you know, instead. Don't look at that. Look right here, you know. So again, if any of this is making you question yourself or doubt yourself or doubt me, take a good, hot, solid look. And if there's anybody who wants to challenge what I've said, come on, man, bring it. Like, come at me. Like, ask me some questions. Right. I've been through it all. You know, I've been through everything, you know, so I'm happy to show like how you can overcome anything to get to where you want to be.
Love it.
That's all I'd say.
All right. It's a great note on which to end, Matt. I appreciate you. And thanks for being part of Just Thinking.
Thank you.